Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of a podcast named Tim. Today, we are discussing two movies, Robo Vampire and One Night in Miami. We are father and son movie review podcast, available everywhere that podcasts are. So please give us a rating and review on your audio platform of choice. And we're also on YouTube, where we discuss movies, Power Rangers, Star Wars, books, board games, etc., etc. Anything that keeps you entertained in your lonely times. So please hit us up over there as well. Again, today, Robo Vampire and One Night in Miami. I am Zach. Dad, how are you today or this evening? Good, sir.
Fantastic.
You're fantastic. Well,
that's fantastic.
That's good to know.
I'm always fantastic. You like the new look?
I do like the new
look. It's starting. Got it rolling.
I can't see. You know, I'm blind, as we learned today.
Oh, that little bit of difference. Yeah, I'm gonna give me a little curl here. I haven't decided what to do with the chin here, since I really don't have a chin. Just got less, but
looks good.
See what happens.
Okay.
I look like a hip Gungan.
That sounds about right.
And no, I'm not gonna do my imitation.
Well, that's good. Well, I don't know about you. What have you been watching this week to keep yourself entertained?
Let's see. Amy and I were watching that show on Netflix, the Behind Her Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We're about half into that. That's, I don't know, I kind of like it.
Okay.
Continue with Forge of Fire with Alex. And I just got done, right before you called, I was watching the vaccination special from South Park.
I watched that as well. What did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
I thought so.
But anything that pokes fun at Q, I'm down with it. Yeah, I thought it was funny. It was one of their better episodes in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, the old people were hilarious. Which yes. I guess I am one, since I've had one of my shots. Head to the other one, so I'm one of those people that get to go into the to the private section of Walgreens.
Yes.
Yeah, it was well thought out. Mr. Garrison, you know, it's always good to see him back. He always cracked me up. What did you think about it?
I thought it was really good. I was talking to a buddy of mine about it. There was one missed opportunity. And that was to have Randy Marsh be more involved with Q, because Randy Marsh,
he's kind of a wingnut anyway.
Well, he's typically more of a wingnut on the other side, but he that character can play that role very well.
Yeah, that's true. That would have been good.
But other than that,
I like the, what were they, the QTs?
QTs, yes.
Yeah, it was funny. And I loved that they had the when they had the scene of the people, they had the guy with the painted face and the mm-hmm. horn from the Capitol building. Not that that's a funny subject, but I'm glad he stuck it in here. The other thing was, I love when they were showing the pictures of Hollywood Elite, they made sure that they had their pictures up there. They had Matt, Trey and Stone up there. That was funny that they considered themselves Hollywood Elite.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it was entertaining. Anything else? I don't know. Oh, I started watching Chicago PD.
Okay.
I've never watched any of the Chicago ones, and I've never watched any of the Law and Order. I don't know why. I watched other stuff. And a couple times when I thought about watching the Law and Order, and you look on there and you see 20 seasons, it's just like, oh, you know, never mind. I don't mind binging, but I can catch up with 5 or 6 seasons, but 20, I don't know if I can do that. So I've ignored it. Finally, I pulled it and decided I was going to watch Law and Order, but I'm going to try SVU because I heard a lot of people talking about SVU.
I think that's the one my wife watches. That's
I got 8 episodes into that, and I had to turn that off or I was going to get a rope. I can't watch that show. Yeah. I know that it was about Special Victims Unit. I get it. It's in the title. But I didn't realize why that every episode was going to be about pedophilia and raping children. And I was like, nah, I can't do this for 20 seasons. It's too depressing. Yeah, that was too hard to watch.
Yeah.
So I went to Chicago PD and tried it because it's a little bit of everything and kind of reminds me a little bit of the Shield and a little bit of what was the one? Blue Shield. The one with Jennifer Lopez and Ray Liotta a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You're cheering for the cops, although they're a little dirty.
You know what? I never finished it, but I really enjoyed that one show that Dennis Leary had about the fire departments. I don't remember.
Yeah, I never watched any of that. I'm just talking about.
That one was really good.
Yeah. This is the thing most interesting with this so far is the one of the characters in it who's a really easygoing, nice, upstanding cop is the guy that Amy and I are watching in Big Sky. That's the child trafficker. So it's like, whoa. I was not expecting that when he showed up on the screen. So yeah, it was it's a good show.
Yeah, I've been watching Star Wars The Clone Wars faster than I can record episodes to put up on YouTube for. But me and the wife got to a famous arc in that show, and I think you dabbled a little bit in it, but you didn't really get too far into it. But there's a famous arc called, I think it's called The Mystery of Mortis. And it's weird. It's weird, man. Yeah. It's like Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka go to like another dimension almost.
Okay.
And it's like the father, the son, and the daughter. And the father controls the son and the daughter. And they're kind of like gods. And the son's like the epitome of the dark side. And the daughter's the epitome of the light, and the father's there to keep them in control so no one kind of gets one up on the other.
Okay.
But what basically goes into the Chosen One prophecy, and he says the father is basically like, I brought you here because I'm getting old and I'm going to die, and I need you to take my place in keeping these two in check.
Right.
And Anakin's like, I just want to go home and see my wife. I'm not really interested in this.
Gotcha.
So it's just it's a weird arc, but we got to there last night. So we're making our way. We're about halfway through season three, but I think for recording episodes, I'm in like the beginning of season one.
Yeah. I did watch Tom and Jerry this week.
What did you think of Tom and Jerry?
I have not watched a review.
Which is on YouTube.
Yeah, I decided I wasn't going to watch it beforehand because sometimes you and I really feed off of each other. Right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you and I feed off each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a complete difference, it's maybe that's what we're doing. We're just taking the opposite to be opposite. But anyway, it was like they stole Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, where they took that plot where the person gets the job they're not really supposed to get. And they're filming that movie, and then someone got fired off of that movie and snuck into the studio at night and drew a cat and a mouse running around on top of that screen so that when they filmed it, there was a movie going on, and for some reason there was a cat and mouse running around on it.
So to sum up my review, basically, it was I thought that they did a good job of doing the actual Tom and Jerry bits. Like they're back and forth, and they recreated some of their more famous bits that they do. So I thought that they did a good job of recreating them, but they realized, oh yeah, we have to fill an hour and a half plus of a movie. All right, so there's a wedding, and it didn't matter, and it just got too much into that. I think I told someone, I don't remember if I mentioned this in our review, if I thought about it later, what they should have done, in my humble opinion, is, you remember how in Tom and Jerry there's typically a dad, or excuse me, there's two owners, typically, at the house, and you always see them waist down, and they'll go away for like a weekend,
right,
and that's when things go wrong. You know, don't let that mouse blah, 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 or take. They could have just done that. And they could have had them go away, had the two of them have their issue, have their little fight, and right, maybe it spills over into the city. And they get lost and can't find their way back or something. And they could have bonded over
that. So Stuart Little.
Homeward Bound.
No, I don't know. I'm not a Tom and Jerry fan anyway.
Right.
So.
Well, I, and really I was.
I hated the animation.
It was okay.
And on top of the, it didn't look good with what they were doing.
Okay, they, yes.
I don't know. Again, I just feel like they just overlaid a cartoon on top of a movie.
Well, and what I didn't get was you had Spike show up, which was cool. You had some of the alley cats that always bother.
Right.
Yeah, oh, we're cool, but no Quacker. No Quacker
the duck? Yeah, where was the little duck?
Just,
chicken or duck. It was a duck, right?
And Spike's son wasn't there. And
I guess they're saving it for Tom and Jerry, too.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me. And the kids, they weren't impressed either, I don't think.
Well, because it wasn't enough Tom and Jerry.
I don't think that was it.
Oh, man. But that's pretty much it. That's all I've watched. And the movies for this week, obviously. And no Dino Fury this week. I thought this was weird. Do you think this is weird? They had 3 episodes, and then they took off a week, and then they're going to come back next week.
Not in this day and age, because all the shows are doing that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming that's what it has to do with is with the, I mean, we're getting one episode of Walking Dead and mm-hmm. on for, so it's kind of weird how they're doing it. So I'm assuming that's what it is. But who knows?
Oh yeah, who knows? But next week it sounds like the Green and Black Ranger will finally be joining the crew.
Yeah, and they've added a fifth episode onto the list. So
okay.
So maybe they're actually actively filming that over. They're in New Zealand, so.
Yeah, or doing some production or something. Yeah.
Well, Australia and New Zealand seem to be where everything's filming. I don't know if we're watching a lot of the reality shows. They got a lot of new game shows and stuff going on. And if you look at the bottom, it says filmed in Australia right now, which is kind of weird. I mean, you got Name That Tune with an all-American cast and contestants. But I'm assuming that the studio audience there is Australian. I mean, I can't imagine they're flying in. Are they flying in contestants to, or is it just people, Americans that happen to be living in Australia? I'm not sure what they're doing, but things are getting filmed over there right now.
Okay. Well, I think we should do this dang thing, and I think we should start with Robo Vampire.
And you know what's horrible about it?
About filming in New Zealand?
Like my good buddy and video chat mate, Karen Gillen, she had to quarantine for 14 days,
mm-hmm.
fly to Australia, quarantine, film some scenes from the upcoming Thor,
mm-hmm.
fly to England, quarantine for 14 days, film a few scenes there, and then whenever they head back to America, she'll have to do it all over again. So this is the slow, this is what they're having to do.
This is why we need The Void.
This is where we needed people to do what they were supposed to do early on and got this thing over with quicker. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Let's move on.
That is a whole other story. Well, before we hop into Robo Vampire, we're going to take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So Robo Vampire came out in 1988 in Hong Kong, directed and written by Godfrey Ho, although it says as Joe Livingston. Don't know why. And the screenplay it says was as William Palmer, so he used two different names for those, but it was Godfrey Ho. It tells the tale of a narcotics agent, Tom Wilde, who is given a second chance of life after being shot in a futuristic experiment where he is brought back in a robot android body. There's much more to this plot that we'll get into of 1 hour and 30 minute runtime, a 3.6 on IMDb, no tomato meter, but a 46 on the audience score. This was my selection for the week. What did you think of Robo Vampire?
This was one of the most disconnected movies and storylines that I think, even bad movies, even like Plan 9 from Outer Space, at least kind of had a a line that they went down, a bad line, but it kind of with this, I have no idea what I was watching. I don't know what I was supposed to get out of this. There was like three different movies going on all at one time. They even looked like it because the lighting was different all the time. It was like this was pieced together. I don't know if we were getting vampire. So the drug people hired people to make vampires to hide the drugs in, right?
So I think there were two things going on. I think they hired a Taoist priest to have like vampire security armed forces. Right. And then they also were going to smuggle drugs in altars. But it also seemed like they were two different drug organizations.
Okay.
So that also kind of threw
there was some another story, some chick running around naked, and I don't know what that was all about. And then of course we got into the RoboCop, RoboCop ripoff. The best part of all that is how they ever got away with putting that movie poster out without being sued. And then you get to the theater and it looked nothing like RoboCop. The thing may look like it was going to be RoboCop.
They did. The poster pumped it up.
This was so bad that it isn't even bad. This is not so bad. It's good. I'm sorry. I know some people may love it. I don't know if it got to that point on you. Had there been like maybe one bad plot line that I could have laughed through, maybe it could have gotten to that. But I just really don't know what I was watching. It just was very confusing.
Yeah, it. And part of what you're talking about, I think, is Godfrey Ho. I think I've seen another one of his movies, something about ninjas, like Challenge of the Ninja or something like that, where he borrows footage from other films and then splices it in with his film. He did the same thing here. So footage is lifted directly from a Thai film called Pa Lagoon, something, I don't know. He lifted some of the stuff from it. So there is two movies here that didn't have anything to do with here, and he's kind of stitching it together, probably to save some coin. Yes, that probably did not help. I thought this was terrible. it was boring. There was not enough robo or enough vampire, in my humble opinion.
Well, they weren't really vampires. They didn't suck blood.
I will get into this in a moment. Okay. I'll get to that in a moment. My issue is the title is incorrect. It should be Robo Warrior versus Vampire, not Robo Vampire.
Okay.
Or Robot versus Vampire, something like that. But there was too much focus, like you said, on just the weird drug war thing and not enough on the supernatural interesting stuff that was going on, although right. That makes no sense either. Like you said, there was a ghost woman, a ghost witch who loved one of the vampires and she wanted to be with him, even though he had a gorilla mask on for some reason. And
there was a cat and mouse running around, and I didn't know what the heck was going on with that.
Can I tell you what one of my favorite parts, and it means nothing. But just it was the delivery of the line. There was a part, you'll probably remember this, where they go and search a church for some drugs, and the priest is like, I don't. This is the house of the Lord. I don't know what drugs are. There's no drugs here. And they push over a cross, and it spills out a bunch of drugs. It cuts over to one of the bad guys, and he just goes, "Hey, the drugs." Just the delivery on it was great. So the vampire aspect that you're talking about, it's called Jing Shi, I believe is how it's pronounced. It is a Chinese folklore vampire. There's literature about it. It typically makes fun of the Qing Dynasty, That's why they were wearing those particular garbs. That's Qing Dynasty kind of garbs. There's movies about this. The whole little mini genre of horror.
I wasn't willing to do the deep dive to find all this out.
That's why I'm here, baby. That's why I'm here. So the reason they hop in kayfabe.
That actually made me laugh.
Yeah, the reason they hop in kayfabe, which all, if you watch any Jingxi, I think it's pronounced, films, is because obviously they're dead bodies. And when you're dead, you don't have any blood or anything going up to, you know, circulating. So you get very stiff. You get stiff. And so when your legs are stiff, you can't walk. And so you have to hop. That's the only way you can move. That's the lore. So
that's just another plot hole.
So there's a variety of ways you can become one of these particular types of creatures, if you will. They're kind of a mix of zombie and vampire and their folklore. But
is there some manga or anime?
I'm sure there is.
Because I would love to watch this. I'd like to watch a series of hopping vampires.
Well, let me give you some more lore, because I don't know when we watch another Jingxi style film.
I can answer that question for you.
So, in Stephanie Lam in a book entitled "Hop on Pop," Jingxi films in a
That's a Dr. Seuss, and we're not allowed to talk about Dr. Seuss anymore.
That's what's called "Hop on Pop," Jingxi films in a transitional context. She provides the main methods for protecting yourselves. You know, obviously you get a werewolf, it's a silver bullet. You get a vampire, it's steak to the heart and garlic. Here are the these are the five, it looks like, ways you can protect yourself from Jingxi.
Okay.
You can, see, that's right, get your pencil ready. So you take thin yellow paper with chicken blood spell on the forehead. So that's what that was.
Okay.
You can use an eight-sided mirror, because they don't like their own reflection and it kind of stops them in their own tracks.
But a six-sided mirror won't work.
Eight-sided. That's what it says right here. This is the experts. All
right.
A sword that is charged with the light of the moon made of Chinese coins can be used to attack a vampire.
I can forge that. I've been watching.
To stop a hopping vampire in place, you can take a small amount of blood and place it on the creature's forehead. And then to banish it, you can throw sticky rice at the creature, drawing out the evil in it.
It has to be sticky rice. We're not talking
sticky rice.
Little Minute Maid or Uncle Ben's. We got that sticky rice.
So,
that's quite a lore.
Sammo Hung, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
Well, I know who that is.
He is one of the ones that popularized this genre in the 80s.
Really?
So, yes, they took kung fu, comedy, and horror, jammed it together, and that's what created its renaissance in the 80s and 90s. The first two films to make it popular, he either directed or produced. It was Encounters of a Spooky Kind and Mr. Vampire were the two films. And that led to the big wave of Jingxi films. So that
is Jackie Chan in any of these movies?
I don't think so.
Or Bolo Young.
But they actually did. They have made in Jackie Chan, The Adventures, the TV show, there is an episode where one of them shows up. In Kung Fu Panda, Legends of Awesomeness, the show, there's an episode where they do Jingxi. In Dragon Ball Super, which is the next version of Dragon Ball Z, they have a Jingxi episode. And there's some other, there's video games, a bunch of video games who have incorporated stuff, including one of your other son, Alex's favorite games, Overwatch. One of the characters, they had a Halloween costume, and she had a Jingxi-themed costume. So this is it's like a weird sub genre of film.
So he might know something about this.
So
Because he likes to do these deep dives on the things like that. So we'll see if he knows about that.
It was a terrible film. I will say, I watched the film. It's a 1 out of 10. But the Riff Tracks, which if you don't know what Riff Tracks is, anyone out there, it's the Mystery Science Theater guys' new show. Same concept.
Oh, same guys?
Same guys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the same guys. It was a 10 out of 10.
Why did they feel the need to do that?
I assume rights.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, the Riff Tracks for it is great. And it was a 10 out of 10 Riff Tracks. 1 out of 10 movie, 10 out of 10 Riff Tracks. So, and shorter.
Go back and watch that just for that.
It was great. I was laughing the whole way through. But it was bad. There's just no getting around it.
It was beyond that.
The suit for RoboCop Vampire sucked.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. I really wanted a ripoff.
Yeah.
Since I was presented that on the movie poster, I was like, because at first I was like, how are they getting away with this? I gotta see this. And then, yeah, I see why they got away with it. Which, I still don't understand how they put that movie poster out and how they put that cover on their DVD package. And trying to think of who, New Line? I don't know who did RoboCop. New Line, maybe?
It's
in their business anymore, so maybe that's...
I don't know.
Somebody should have. There should have been a cease and desist letter immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Weller is not in this.
No, he is not.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But and when you look at the, this is probably the first time that when I pulled up the IMDb page, not a single actor's picture was there. It was just all their names and the black shadow thing from usually, like, you know, down. You usually have to go 16, 17 people in before you start seeing people that have no headshots to put up there. Yeah, that was. I'm so glad you chose this.
Now you have to learn about.
Did you say it's been up there for a year? You've been waiting to.
I have. It's been in my queue. And look, but now you get to learn about Jingxi films. So now we learned, we edumacated ourselves, broadened our horizons.
Well, there we go.
So that's what it's all about.
All right. Well, yeah, I learned something.
Well, let's go ahead and
for that, but
yeah. Let's go to our next film, which was your selection for the week. One Night in Miami. It came out in 2020. R rating, 1 hour and 54 minute runtime. It has a 7.2 on IMDb, a 98 on the tomato meter, and an 82 from the audience score. I believe it is the directorial debut of one Regina King. And stars, let's see, Kingsley Ben-Adir, Ellie Gourier, Aldous Hodge, and Leslie Odom Jr.
That's the only one I can ever say right.
I probably messed up a lot of those names. I apologize. It is the story of the fictional kind of historic drama. It's a movie about Malcolm X, Cassius Clay, / Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, and Sam Cooke hanging out one night in Miami. And I guess I should say Lance Reddick is in it as well. Reddick, which I love Lance Reddick. He's always great whenever he's in something.
No.
I'll go ahead and go first since this was your selection. I thought this was a fantastic film. For being 2 hours, it flew by. And for being 2 hours of four guys sitting in a room talking, it flew by. I thought that the characters were engaging and dynamic and... some of them sometimes took a back seat to the others. In some respects, Malcolm X and Sam Cooke's characters directly took over the film. And Cassius Clay and Jim Brown maybe took a seat back for large parts of it. But that's because they were the two extremes of the discussion being had. And, of course, you know, it's basically these four guys the night that Muhammad Ali beat Sonny Liston, which was actually just a couple weeks ago. It was February 25th. Was the anniversary of that, and they just go and hang out at a hotel and talk about what they can do to improve, you know, the situation, the civil rights movement, basically what they can do, what role they can play, and what needs to be done. And it takes place in 1964, I believe, which was kind of a lot of things for these people took place that year in some point or another, and a lot of them around that actual time period. So your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I really liked it. And when I watched it, I thought it was definitely a story, acting driven movie. You know, it was no crazy sets, no crazy explosions. It was just some really good acting. Had all of them, I think, played their part really well from what I know historically of these people.
Yeah.
Of course, Sam Cooke died before I was even born. He died later the year that this was supposed to be. I have watched documentaries on Sam Cooke, though, because I didn't realize how what a powerful person he was, where he was actually trying he decided he needed to own his music, and he needed to not just, you know, say, mm-hmm. yeah, here's, I'll perform for you, and you get all my money and break me off a little chunk. He wanted to own it, so that was right. Great. Malcolm X, of course, is always in anything they portray him in. Is quite a figure in history. Cassius Clay, you know.
I thought he hit it.
Was about, yeah, absolutely. And Jim Brown, you know, one of the greatest football players to ever play. And he had the most memorable scene of a movie that I've watched in 30 years.
And what is that?
Well, that was that scene that, made me actually pause the movie and wait a minute, because it was like, wow. Jeff Bridges is playing a good old Southern boy and invites Jim Brown to his house to tell him what a great person he is. He is the greatest football player. He is the most dynamic person in this world. Holy mackerel, I'll do anything for you. Kissy, kissy, lovey, lovey, please. Be my friend so that, you know, I feel like a better person and blah, 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 blah. And then he goes to go into the house and he wouldn't even let the man in his house because, you know, we don't allow the N-word into my house.
And very nonchalantly.
Yeah, it was like, you know. And I was like, because I did not see that coming. Not that I don't know how things were then. And that there was a ton of people that were like that. I just, for some reason, he laid it on so thick, which shows what a good acting it was, and a really well-written scene and well-directed scene, which we'll get to in a second about the directing, that totally blindsided. I didn't see that coming. I thought that he had put that all aside. He didn't care about that. He was colorblind on that. And wow. That one smacked me in the mouth.
Yeah, that was I had a.
I was like, well, what?
I had a delayed reaction to it as well because I thought he had come up with a different excuse.
Yeah, you know, you're too great to do this because I just told you how great you are. I'm not going to allow the greatest football player to touch a football and to have to clean up.
My house is dirty.
Something, yeah, you might get hurt, and then what would that do to, you know, oh, yeah, and to think that 4 years before I was born, you would just say that to some other human, and you said, no, just like, hey, can you hand me that?
Yeah, well, it was weird because it was obvious, I mean, I don't know how to describe this correctly. In that character's mind, it was not from, I won't say a place, it's clearly from a place of hatred, but it wasn't from a place of hatred in some respects. It was more just...
It was complete disdain.
Well, no, but I don't mean that. I mean in... I think in his mind, it was, these are just the rules how things operate. And you're even if he was a good friend with him. No, I don't think I think he certainly was kissing Jim Brown's ass. And I think if it wasn't Jim Brown, he would have been saying that to that person way before then.
Right. But, don't even come up on my porch.
Yeah. But it just, I don't know. It just, I guess it was the delivery of it.
I don't know. It was. It was a very telling scene. It was a very wow. And I think I even posted on Facebook right after this that if you did watch this and this didn't cause some kind of reaction from you, that scene, then something's wrong with you. Because that was, whether you have ever had that thought or know anybody had those thoughts or came from that ear or didn't come from that ear, that put a lump in my throat and my stomach kind of was just knotted like, whoa, what the heck did that come from? That's some audacity to say that to somebody that you just, I don't know, I can't imagine, even if you took color or nationality or sex or anything out of it, to blow praise up somebody's ass and then tell them you can't come in my house because of who you are. I can't comprehend that. Yeah. Anyway, so the scene was great, probably because I thought Regina King did a fantastic job directing this.
Yes.
And you see what else she's going to pull out of it, because it was just well directed. And I don't know, maybe just the actors were that good too, and it was that good a script that it all just fell into place for her. It was a good movie.
No, I thought it was really well directed. There was a lot of great shots. There was a shot of the four of them when they were on top of the rooftop from their back. That was great. A lot of the stuff when they were looking into Malcolm X's camera.
Yep.
That stuff looked great. It kind of had, in some respects, a 12 Angry Men vibe to it, because it's just, that's 12 guys sitting around a room and you're finding out who they are. And this is four guys sitting in a hotel room finding out who they are. The only difference is, those people randomly put together to decide the fate of someone. And this was just, we're four friends who are sitting down to talk about actual real shit. Right. And it was interesting to hear everyone's different thought on the best way to move forward. Jim Brown was much, very much the, if I, do the movies, I'm a big deal, then I can, kind of promote stuff. And Sam Cooke, like you said, with the ownership and everything, Malcolm X was very much, which I thought he played Malcolm X excellently from the little bit I know. Just very direct. You have to be direct.
Right.
I like the fact that the film had these characters address some of the more contentious natures of Malcolm X's history.
Right.
You had these guys talking about that, because it would have been weird for them to not bring it up in some respects.
Right.
And then there's just all the other stuff going on with, Malcolm wanting to go off, regardless of what it is, go off and do his own adventure, and wanting his buddy to join up with him, but he's been maybe not as truthful with him as he needed to be as far as leading him along.
Right.
That dynamic. And that was just, it was just fantastic. There's just so much to digest as far as different versions of how to make progress during a time when obviously a lot of progress was made, not all easily, certainly. I don't know. It was really good.
Well, yeah, I mean, some chose to just stay quiet and just let things go the way they were, like the Jim Brown kind of just, the fact that he just let that go, and Sam Cooke, who was trying to do it the right way of actually, getting to be his own business person and all that. And then Malcolm, who was outspoken and, hey, let's take to the streets, let them know what we feel. I think Cassius Clay he was the one that I've always kind of thought I don't think he ever really knew where he fit in, because he loved people. He loved to entertain people. He liked to be Muhammad Ali, Lord have mercy. He loved to be Cassius Clay. But then when he became Muslim, he had to kind of let that take a backseat. And I don't know if he was ever, I'm not sure what his real feelings were, or if he did that, if he was pushed into doing that and just kind of did it on a whim and fell into it. Some people say he did. And he just kind of, that was just kind of the flavor of the month, and he ended up getting into it and stayed with it later because he fell in love with the religion. But at first, it was just kind of, he was kind of a headline guy.
Right. No, I understand. Bandwagoner.
Yeah,
it was fascinating. And I'll have to say this. Those four must have been very good friends, because if I had just become world champion, and I'm 22 years old, there ain't no way I'm sitting my ass in this hotel just talking to y'all both.
Well, this never really happened. So.
Well, yes, but I'm saying, like, in the movie. Yeah. You know, it's like, whew, would not have been doing that.
No. Nope.
No, it's, yeah, I just thought, I think if I could go back and watch it again, which I think this is something I would watch again at some point.
I don't know. To see that again.
Well, it's just, I guarantee you there's a lot more subtlety in their words and their performances that I'm sure we missed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe there's a deleted scene where Jim Brown knocked Jeff Bridges' head off. I was really waiting for some anger or something to come out of that.
Mm.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, it was really good. And Leslie Odom, he is, you know, rising up the ranks, man. He did
Aaron Hamilton. Burr.
Yeah, did Hamilton, and now he's, which I think he did some other stuff before this too, but I think that's obviously where everyone.
He sang all this too. Sam Cooke recordings. They actually let him sing.
And he did great as always.
He did.
Yeah,
indeed.
I really, really enjoyed. You know what I learned from this movie that I did not know about, and maybe I should have known. I knew that there was a lot of segregation, obviously, with bathrooms and buses and employment, all the other stupid shit. I did not realize that there were two different music charts.
No, I didn't know that either back then.
I did know that was a thing. Which was, again, just the levels of pettiness that were in Hatred. I don't understand, but I just don't get it.
And I'm 30 years older than you, and I don't get it. So I'm not sure where the divide was. Maybe I was just raised a little different.
Yeah.
Than some people that I've heard, but yeah, I don't get it either. But
yeah, I did not know that they were separate music charts.
No, I didn't know that.
Really good film. Yeah, I would say, I'm sure you would agree with this. This is better than Hidden Figures, which we watched last week. I think it is, by a lot.
It's probably better. An actual movie, but I liked what I learned from Hidden Figures better.
Okay, I understand. And we should note, it does have a marker, is the first film by a black female director to be selected by the Venice Film Festival.
So, cool, Regina.
Yes, yeah, I look forward to seeing some more stuff from her.
I've liked her since Poetic. I had the movie till I wanted to say it. Janet Jackson and
Poetic Justice?
No. Poetic Justice? Is that it?
I don't know. That's a Tupac movie, right?
Yes, that's it. She was at that.
Just wow. Wow.
Yippers.
That is a good film. So
what's the film?
That is all we have for this week.
What's the third movie?
That's it, homie.
Yeah.
Oh. So what is one of your two movies that you're recommending for next week?
I have two movies?
No, but you have one and I have one.
Oh.
What is your other film?
Well, I'm being your dad and I'm coming to your rescue. Because okay. I feel really bad that you probably picked the worst movie that we're going to watch for the year. So I'm going to try to save you. And we're going to watch... Lamageddon.
Okay. Well, I have some bad news for you, sir.
Oh, you didn't do it too, did you?
I picked a film that came out this week that has not gotten very good reviews.
Oh, crap.
Where can I watch Lamageddon? I'm assuming Amazon.
Have you seen Lamageddon?
No.
I mean, you haven't even seen the picture of it or anything?
No.
It's on Prime.
Okay.
2018. It's like barely over an hour.
Okay.
It's what I'm hoping it's what the Pinata.
Oh, Killer Pinata.
Lamageddon.
Okay. Well, I didn't know what I was going to pick this week, and I have not watched the review for this yet, but one of the guys I follow had a YouTube video up, and in his thumbnail, it said, "Worst movie of 2021? Question mark." And so I said, well, I'm interested. What is this movie? And I went and looked up on IMDb, starring Bruce Willis. It's called Cosmic Sin, R-rated, came out this last week, and it's on Amazon Prime. It's not done very well. It also, just to put in perspective the level of actor and actress and movie work, C.J. Perry is also in this film.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Because I saw some pictures of her dressed in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Lana's in a movie with Bruce Willis. Yeah.
So it is on Amazon Prime. And like I said, it came out literally yesterday. It says March 12th. So that's what we're going to watch.
I was looking it up. Cosmic Yoga? Cosmic Kids? God, where in the heck is
Cosmic that? Sin.
So since it's sin, does that mean Lana's going to be naked?
Probably not.
Is Rusev in it?
No Rusev. No Miro.
I mean, not Rusev. What's his name now?
Miro.
Is it really?
Yeah, Miro. I think it's on Amazon Prime. It's on one of those services for free.
No, it's not.
It's not?
It cost $14.99.
Oh, well, then fuck that. We're going to pick something else. I'm not paying for this shit. I swear I saw it for free somewhere. Maybe I just saw it to buy. Okay. Well, then
$8 to rent.
I will pick a different movie for you because I don't want to buy this. Because here's why I don't want to buy it. Because it says on IMDb it currently has a 2.5.
2.5, and it has it's not even an hour and a half minute.
It's 128.
Yeah. Edward Drake.
All right, we will skip that.
All right.
I have another movie already lined up though, so I'll move to what I was going to do next week. It is on HBO Max. It's in the Turner Classic Movies section. A movie entitled 8.5.
8.5 weeks?
8.5.
I've seen that, but I don't know what it is. I've seen the weird 8.5 logo when I was scrolling through there.
It is an Italian film. So that is what you're going to watch.
Is it in Italian?
That I do not know, but it is
in the Turner Italian.
It's in the Turner Classic Movie section. I assume there's at minimum subtitles.
So it's probably got Sophia Loren. Is she in it?
She is not in it.
Well, why are you picking this?
Because it's supposed to be a very great movie.
All right. Well, you know something about it.
I do. No, I've looked it up. I think I believe it won the Oscar for Best International Picture that year. And the gentleman who won it, Federico Fellini, I believe he's won. Oh.
Yeah, Fellini's very famous.
Yes, well, it's one of his films.
Gotcha.
So, there you go.
Well, I'm going to go make me some popcorn and somehow trick Alex into watching Lamageddon with me.
I'm just happy we got out of doing Lamageddon and Cosmic Sin in the same week.
Actually, it's not going to be trickery. I'm probably going to have to pay him.
Gonna have to pay him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. The picture from it. It's gonna cost me.
Oh man. Well, maybe for those people who've listened, maybe I will do Cosmic Sin as a bonus episode for our YouTube channel. Maybe.
Nah. I'll end up doing Coming to America 2 before you do that. I think we should just do that on here. Break, do it on here, and then I'll split it, edit it, and put it up.
Yeah. I mean, I have to watch it.
No, you don't have to watch it. You just ask me questions, and I'll talk about it like I was going to.
Okay, I'll interview
you. I have to feed off of an audience. I can't just... I'm a sidekick. It's that simple. I'm Robin. I can never wear the cow, man.
Well, he did become Dark Knight or Darkwing at one point. Whatever the hell his name is.
The original Robin?
Yeah, what was his name? When he went off on his own?
Nightwing? Dark
Nightwing. Nightwing.
Darkwing? Nightwing?
It's Nightwing. I think Darkwing
Duck.
I think that's Darkwing Duck, yeah. What a week of film. We watched one of the worst pieces of shit ever and a great film. The only good thing to come out of 2020.
I want to watch Vanguard.
What's that?
It's a Jackie Chan movie. The trailer looks really good.
I like Jackie Chan.
We almost watched it last night, but then Alex went, wait a minute, this is an action movie and it's only PG? He goes, this is not going to be any good.
Jackie Chan. He's good, wholesome entertainment.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I thought it was kind of good.
Okay. I don't even know what that is, so I'm definitely going to check it
out. It's newer.
Okay. So. Well, I'll have to look into that.
All right.
Well, we'll see you all next time on a podcast named Tim, where we're going to talk about 8.5. Again, Turner Classic Films, our movie section of HBO Max, and Llamageddon.
Llama.
Yes. Goodbye, everybody.